Or 37, 38 in the afternoon. Approval of the agenda.
So there a motion?
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
I want to request a change to the agenda. I'm sorry, Letty. The new business consideration to approve policy OP16, I would like to table that item and bring it back to the next meeting. It needs some additional work.
Okay, is that okay with the maker of the motion? And Director Zendo, are you okay with that change to the agenda?
Oh, yes, I'm okay, yeah, sure.
And the second?
Yeah, I'm okay with it, yes.
Okay, so the second, Director Perez-Gil, are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the meeting of the minutes of November 9th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
And all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Director Zendo?
Aye, sorry.
Okay, so it passes. Then we have old business. I'll turn it over to our CEO on item 4.
Thank you. This is an information item. We're planning on having another session with Martin Rauch. And one item that is required for that next session, which we hope we can have at the end of February, is to have our board members complete the board self-assessment. I believe Andrea has sent the link to that self-assessment, correct, Andrea?
Yes, that's correct.
So I hope this serves as a reminder that we should complete that.
Okay, thank you. I haven't done it, so I will do it. Is that it for your report?
Yes.
Okay, very good. The next item is item number 6, existing policy revisions. Policy BOD 06, filling a vacancy on the board. Turn it over to our CEO.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to our Chief Administration Officer, Chris.
Most of the policies that you will see here are, if you recall, we've been working through a process to get on a two-year cycle. And so we were able to complete all of those the last committee meeting that we had. So what we're doing now then is we're breaking this down to where we should only have, you know, maybe a half a dozen policies that we're reviewing each quarter. So the policies that you have before you, and I just want to get to, so the first one that we're looking at is, the filling a vacancy on the board. So the order that we presented these policies is I've given you the clean version draft, and then if there's any changes that you'd like or that we've incorporated into it would be on page, the first one, page 15. And for this policy, it's essentially just changing some format and some dates. Very little minor change to the language within the document.
I have a question. It's really more of a comment. I see that it's not changing from what it was, but I kind of read this three times and I don't think I understood it even after the third time. Is most of it because it's written in California government code speak? Or, I mean, boy, it's really difficult to follow. And you know, I did really well on my SATs, so I don't understand.
Most of it is developed by a legal perspective.
It's not even legal, it's bureaucracy.
It especially lost me when it talked about you know, if it's within a certain number of days. I'm surprised they didn't mention whether it was a full moon or not. I mean, really. Okay, like I said, that was more of a comment than a question.
I agree, but I gave up after the second reading. I didn't try to understand it after that. Okay, so yep. Is there a motion to approve number six?
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 Passes. I forgot to ask, is there any member of the public, Andrea?
No, there's no one here but us.
Okay, very good. Thank you. The next item is dash 09, rules of order for board and committee meetings.
Okay, so you'll see that that's a pretty short policy there. It just refers to the Robert's rule of order. And the only edits to it are just cosmetic and dates.
Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, it passes unanimously. The next one is BOD-10, board meeting conduct.
Okay, so again, this one has pretty minimal changes if we're looking at page 24, 25, and 26. No substantial changes to this policy. It just goes through the board meeting conduct and how we should be conducting our board meetings.
So did the Oxford English Dictionary decide that there is an acceptable singular pronoun?
We can remove it if you don't like it.
No, I'm just curious why if that's the only change, what was it based on? Just
preference.
Whose preference?
The people that are writing it or reviewing it.
I move we accept, even though I don't think it's grammatically correct. But anyway.
Well, we can remove it. That's not a problem.
No, I'm joking. It's late.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Director Zendel?
Aye, sorry.
That passes. The next item is where I got lost. Are we on the ticket distribution now?
Yes.
Okay, the BOD 18, ticket distribution.
Okay, so this is a policy that is, if you recall, has had some significant discussion over the last couple of years. We're bringing it for review. The edit to it is to remove community members on page 33. And otherwise it's cosmetic and no changes that are being proposed by staff.
I'm surprised that it had community members in there, but okay, glad to see that's been changed. Do we get some kind of a statement or the board members some kind of statement for how to remind us of what we need to report on our form, whatever that form is?
700.
At the end of the year, we could track
it wouldn't be anything you got from the district unless it didn't fit into this category. So it would only be things that you agreed to go to and somebody else paid for.
Okay, so
for example, I might go to something from the healthcare, from the hospital, and I have to include it as a gift from tenant.
Okay, so if the district buys me a ticket, I have to report it.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they don't have to tell me anything about.
By the way, that was one reason we adopted this policy, so that you wouldn't have to report it. The district reports somehow that they buy certain things.
On the form 802.
And to that point, President DeLauro, I will be sending out an email or as a reminder that the Form 700s are due in April. I'll be sending that out tomorrow.
Okay. Is there any other thing that you want to bring to, do you want to bring up at this time, Chris, on this particular one?
No, just to keep in mind that it may have some further discussion at the board meeting.
I have a question. Later on when we talk about OP05, which is the thing about grants and mini grants, it talks about some things that the district won't spend money on, like sponsorship of events, things like that. I'm wondering if maybe a reference to that policy should be in here in case somebody comes and says, I want, because that's only under the grants and mini grants, but occasionally a board member will come and say, gee, I'd like the district to be a sponsor for X event. And it shouldn't be just in the grants and mini grants. It should probably be, maybe it should be under this ticket distribution policy because sometimes it's tied to that.
Well, Les, that's one of the reasons why we had the discretionary fund of the CEO, because from time to time there was a worthy cause that we wanted to have the discretion to allow a sponsorship. And that's one of the reasons why we allow that discretionary fund.
Okay. But again, I remember that it's come up, and I'm not saying it needs to be here, but it's somehow tied into what you just said with the CEO fund. It's also tied into the ticket distribution policy because often these are two events where they may have also asked the district to sponsor. In fact, one of the arguments a few years ago was that we should be a sponsor, therefore we get 10 tickets to give to our board members. And I'm not saying we should change anything. I'm just wondering if somehow they need to be linked a little more clearly. And I mean, Chris, you have the history better than I do. You remember more, but do you think anything needs to be said here or?
I think that's why we defined it this way in the ticket distribution policy, because we are giving tickets to events and that, and there's the, you know, isn't this where it discusses, you know, like the limits and that, that
I just remember sometimes it, and Andrea, maybe you can help me here. There have been times when people have said, well, listen, if you, instead of buying six tickets, you could buy a table and you'd get eight tickets. And that doesn't fall into the same, somebody help me here, I'm getting lost.
That's correct. Chris is aware of that. So if we purchased a table of 10, then it wouldn't be go account against the board members individually.
Okay, where does that fall under then? Is that a sponsorship? Is that a table? Is that part of the ticket distribution? It's certainly not part of the grants and mini grants. Is it?
There is a policy somewhere, Chris, that I recall that shows about purchasing a table.
To me, it's part of the discretionary fund.
So it needs to be part of the, so we have to touch on it next time when OP16 comes back?
Well, except if it's part of the discretionary fund, why would that be, and there's a limit to the discretionary fund, why would that be, count against the CEO's limit? I don't get it.
Well, there's not really, did we determine that there was a limit on the CEO discretionary fund? Was it a maximum amount?
Well, there's a budget item, a maximum budget.
Okay, so there was a some number that was associated with that.
You know, maybe Conrado's right. Maybe we can just table that until we talk about the discretionary fund, and maybe it doesn't need to be in ticket distribution. It's just that I remember last time I got confused about the discretionary fund and the mini grants. I think it's easy to get confused about these. So
that one is very closely associated with this. So there is some connection to it. But if it's going to be addressed in the other one, let's wait to see if it's adequately addressed in OP16, if that's what our CAO and our CEO are saying that that's where they think it's going to be covered.
And would there be any value then in pulling this now and deferring it till we, so we can do policy six, OP05, okay, this policy and the CEO discretionary altogether, so people don't say, well, what about that other policy?
I think that's a good idea. We could talk about it together.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll, I move that we pull, table this.
Okay. Is there a second to table, to continue this item till the next meeting?
I second.
In favor?
Aye.
If I may go back to the other policy where we were discussing the he, she, and their.
Mm-hmm.
I was reminded that the reason that their is included is, if you recall, in a prior board meeting, Director Borja made special reference to including their, and we're have those, that language in the policy.
Well, I'm going to have to consult my Funkin' Wagnalls.
Go ahead and consult your Funkin' Wagnalls. Okay, but
only people old enough will know what that is. That is not a nasty term. It's actually the name of a grammar dictionary or something like that.
Okay, I only know Webster. Sorry. Okay, but before we move on from this one, I know we're going to discuss it next time, but I don't want to forget this point that I was going to make before you guys switched over to the other policy. On section five, okay, where it talks about that, on that last sentence on section five, it says, shall be budgeted for the purchase of tickets, and the purchase of for any individual should not exceed $2,500. And then on section six and six, I think it alludes to the fact that if I notify Andrea that I want to attend an event and it's $250, and if for some reason at the last minute I can't attend and I give it to another board member, does that count against me, or does that count against the person who received it?
That has come up.
That counts against you.
That's fine. I just wanted to be clear here that it can actually be transferred, but it's going to count against me, the original person. And the other one that gets is just, is pretty much just doing a favor by making it be worthwhile, you know, instead of being wasted. But I just wanted that to be clear, is that it does count against me being the original person who expressed desire to have that ticket. Okay, so I can transfer it, but it's gonna count against me.
Okay, as long as we're talking about this, there have been situations where somebody had used up their $2,500 allotment and ask somebody who hadn't used it to buy, ask for tickets and then give them to them. And we have to do something about it. We have to put something, either it's okay or it's not okay.
I don't think it's okay to do that. I think that person should be held to the same standard as everybody. And
then we need to say that. We need to say that.
Well, I think they're trying.
Then we have to change the policy to say that that's not allowed.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that too.
We're pulling this. It can be worked on.
Okay, so yeah, so good thing we're going to bring that back, and you add a sentence in there about the fact that we want it to be that you cannot transfer, that if you transfer it, it's still going to count against you, but that I can't buy it for somebody, for another board member. I don't know how you can word it, but.
Yeah, because I think that's important. Otherwise, you get this deal of, okay, who gave what, took what.
And it's also about public accountability, is that one person may not actually be, it's not reflecting that he or she is getting $3,500 when he or she did get $3,500 credit. I don't know. But yeah, I think that would be good to mention it, to include that in there. Okay, any other comments on that policy before we move on to the next one? Okay, we'll move on to the next one, BOD 21, Board Member Compensation. Now this one I'm glad that this came up, because I always hate it when I do something and then I make mistakes, and then which I always make mistakes on this one. So this is good that we're looking at this one. Like, for example.
And so what we did here was we, you know, it all remains the same except for we added the insurance component.
Okay, so my most recent mistake that I made is that I recall that we had a special meeting before, and that counted as a separate meeting. And so I was confused back and forth. And then, so I put it down as a separate meeting, and then I was corrected that it's the same day as the other meeting. So therefore it was not counted as a separate meeting. I said, oh, okay. So could that be stipulated here? So that way somebody else doesn't make that same mistake I did.
Oh, so that we're saying that meetings on the same day are compensated per day versus.
Well, I think the meeting that we had earlier today is the same day as this meeting, but they are totally different topics. So that it shouldn't be that it's just because it's the same.
Yeah, meeting. No, I agree. But you're probably right. We need to clarify a little bit if it's a different meeting. But say, you know, the day of a board meeting, if there's a special board meeting, I don't think those should be two separate.
Or the district and the foundation meeting shouldn't be separate.
Right.
But if today we have a finance committee and then we have a policy committee, those are two separate.
Those should be compensated separate.
But remember when we had the performance evaluation from the CEO, and I think we met for like 2 hours, maybe even more, I don't remember, but it was a long meeting. And that was a meeting. Okay, but I don't remember if it was a separate as a regular board meeting, but I just thought, well, there has to be some clarification. If it's a special meeting, then if it's, I don't know if it's some kind of a time issue or what, but.
Letty, I think when we have an executive session before a board meeting, that doesn't count, but we have had special meetings that stood alone. I think the CEO evaluation, we did that as a special meeting with just that one topic.
Okay, so
I don't think that was the same day as the board meeting, was it?
Pardon?
I think we did meet before, but we had the main one with us as a separate. And then right before we met we had the evaluation with the CEO. But I was just thinking of that as an example, but I think that if it's like a closed session, of course, that's not a separate meeting. But if it's, I guess it won't come up very often. So maybe it's not an issue. I just, it probably happens once every 2 years, I think. Okay, so if it's a special meeting, it is not, it counts as not an official meeting. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's official meeting.
Okay. But if it happens right before a board meeting, then it's a semi-official meeting?
No, it has nothing to do with whether it's official or not. It has to do with whether it generates a separate stipend.
I know, but I want it to be defined here. That way it's not that unclear. Like it's a special meeting. Just like a category.
You're talking about, if it's a separate day than the board meeting, I think it's would be clear that
okay,
it gets paid. But I think your question, I think, is if it's a separate two-hour CEO evaluation meeting the same day as a board meeting.
And that's usually not going to happen. Okay, so we could put on here that if it's a special meeting on the same day as the board meeting, that it doesn't count as for a stipend. Is that pretty much how it's going to be?
May I make a different suggestion, Letty?
Yes,
I think the point is it's the board meeting, whether it's a special meeting, a regular meeting, an extra meeting or whatever, it's the entire board of directors, okay? Mm-hmm. And that should be the definition. And it happens in one day, so it's one stipend.
Okay.
All right. On the other hand, if it's a different committee, or if you, let's say you go to the homeless committee in the morning, but the board meeting in the afternoon, you get two stipends.
Okay. So if you can say that in here, that on the board meeting, if we have a special meeting on the board meeting,
You mean an executive session?
An executive session. If you can do that, that way for posterity's sake, that the future board members can go to this policy and not have any misunderstanding. Can we put that on there, that on the board meeting, that you have an executive session / special meeting, that it counts as one meeting? That would be really helpful for other board members.
If it's held the same day as a regular board meeting, it's only counted as one stipend for the day.
Because usually it's gonna be not more than an hour. If we schedule it, we're not schedule it. We're expecting it to be a long discussion. Otherwise, we're gonna set it at a separate day.
Typically on a different day, correct.
Yeah.
So Chris, I think you need to add another bullet that talks about contiguous meetings.
Right.
And I think that'll take care of it.
Yeah.
So, very helpful.
Another item that I want to bring up is that occasionally, and I'll just give myself as an example, and I have not been counting it as a stipend meeting. Manny Perez's office has asked a few of us to come on every other week COVID meetings to talk about that stuff. And, you know, it kind of, you could argue it fits into this, but I have not been stipending it. But on the other hand, it probably needs to be, you know, clearer, because what we don't want is a situation, because there have been other board members there, where some board members put it down and some board members don't. They need to know sort of what the criteria are. So it has here meetings with other government agencies or officials in which the subject of healthcare. So I guess it could fit under that, but.
I was just gonna say, to me, it qualifies. But.
Yeah,
well, except
I think so.
I wasn't, maybe it would be better if we had something that said you were asked to go by either the CEO or the president or the board as a whole.
Yeah,
we appoint people to the homeless task force, or Conrado might ask a board member to say the president to go with him to an event, or another board member to go to an event. I think that should have a stipend, but
that's item C.
Mm-hmm.
And then item four under non-compensational, item four says meetings or other public bodies unless invited as a participant by the host body or sent as a delegate of the district board, which is what you're doing.
Okay.
So it is compensate. You are compensated.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the past, when I've been there as a healthcare district member, I have put it down. When I was invited as RAP, I have not put it down. So that was
Then I guess I answered the question, and maybe it just requires education to let people know what. Okay.
That's usually because the CEO is the one that invites me, and so that's when he says you're being invited as join me along with me or something like that. Then he's the one that's necessitating me to be there. Otherwise, if I get my invite through the RAP channels, then I don't put it on there.
So then the meetings with Supervisor Perez, I kind of got confused right there between everything. So are those considered putting them on your stipend or no? Because there's been like every week meetings that they send out for you to join.
Okay, so are you doing it under wearing your hat as a healthcare district board member? Or are you doing it as another entity?
According to this policy,
a board member.
According to this policy, that falls within B, non-compensable.
Non-compensable?
Unless you invite Yvette to be there as a healthcare board member. So that's the key, is that you're the one that's inviting us. Then at that point, we're wearing our healthcare district hat. Otherwise, then we're not compensated because we're going on our own.
So is that being invited as a participant? Sorry,
even though you're invited by the supervisor. So if you're invited by the supervisor's office, it's not considered something that goes on your stipend, right?
Are you invited as a healthcare district director or invited under your employment?
It doesn't matter. It says meetings of other public bodies unless invited as a participant by the host. It's confusing.
Well, in this
I know
case,
that's why I'm confused. I'm like, I don't know what.
I can consider that this is. Can you consider that this is like a task force, and if this is an emergency pandemic, that you know you make an exception for things like that?
It's not a task force. It's something that he's doing to provide updates of what his office is doing.
Yeah, it's an informational meeting, basically.
It is a benefit to the district.
But I can resolve this. I will invite all of you to come and join me.
Okay, so you're the one that is the one that's designating it, Conrado. That's the way it reads here. Is yes. That necessitated by the CEO. Okay, yes. And but I usually don't attend them. But when you're the one that invites me, I'll attend them. But otherwise, I don't.
I attend them because it's good to know anyways the information, but yes, he's absolutely. Doing them so often that you would go over, I mean, if you were claiming them, you would go over your six a month, you know, because he does them like sometimes twice a week or whatever, depending on the emails that he sends. So I just want to get clarification on if I am supposed to put it on there or not, you know, and from right now, it sounds like I'm not, so I won't.
No, I think what it sounds like to me is that you should, so long as it doesn't exceed six, because that's our other policy, that so long as you don't go over six, and if the CEO is going to be making it clearer by actually inviting you to make it so that there's no vagueness about it, then you can't put it in there. But if you're going just on your own, then no. But if you're going there to be educated as a healthcare district director, then I think that Conrado's going to make it clearer by inviting you and see if you're available and not to exceed six a month. Is that how everybody else understands it, Conrado?
I think so, yes. And I will send the invitation.
Not less. I think you got invited to another meeting. But okay, the
I think
other
they're issue, having one on Friday again too.
Yeah, I saw the invite, but I think it is good to be educated, and I wish I could attend them all just because, but I usually don't. But the other issue is that for the board chair and the vice chair, they meet with the CEO once a month. Okay, so to prepare for the board meeting, does that count because the CEO is necessitating that meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I never have put it, and that's fine. But from here on in, so long as I'm chair for the rest of the year, unless somebody kicks me out, then, but to put that in there so for future that they know to put it on there. And if you could bring that to Karen's attention, if she hasn't been putting it on, to make sure she puts it on too.
Well, and I think the thing to hopefully maybe help clarify this other topic is that there's just that if a director wants to attend, you know, whatever, a separate deal by the supervisor or whatever, that they contact the CEO and the CEO, if they deem that, you know, health related, health nexus, and that meets the district guidelines, then they're given the okay to do it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And if the CEO says yes, then he or she can put it on their stipend. But I think that's key. Is that necessitated or is that sufficient?
We just have to refer to item 4 under B, that meetings of other public bodies unless invited by the participant host, sent delegated by the district board, or the other one for C.
Mm-hmm.
5C.
Requested or necessitated, yeah. How about requested, necessitated, or approved?
Okay.
because that's what you just described, Chris, is if I know of a meeting and Conrado doesn't know about it yet, then I'm the one that's going to have to call him and say, hey, there's this meeting in the East Valley that I think you and I need to be there. And he says, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Any other points on this policy, Yvette, that you noticed as you were reading through this? Things that you have experienced and had some questions about and was not clear?
No, everything else is fine.
Okay, very good. Those are the things that popped in my head about what I've experienced in the last year. God, I'm getting hungry, so let's hurry up and finish this. Okay, so any other, is there a motion to approve, to recommend policy 21?
I make a motion to approve.
Does anybody have any questions with the language of C? Regarding the insurance compensation? I want to make sure that language is clear.
$10,000 per year. Yeah, and I was confused about that too. And I was embarrassed that I got, I didn't understand that until you explained it to me twice or three times. So thank you. Insurance premiums include, may receive insurance coverage through the district. So there's a point that I just switched over to the district insurance. So if my monthly premiums exceed $10,000, that's when I pay the district above the $10,000 amount?
Correct.
Okay. And so you'll tell me when I do that. I'm gonna go over this year. So that's what those payments that Mark used to correct. Be for that purpose. Okay. I never understood that completely, but I kind of did.
Yeah. So what happens is that we're paying the district is paying the premiums. And then once it exceeds the 10,000, then that's when the director pays that amount.
So I don't remember how my monthly amount is, but I'm sure you'll tell me when it is.
But that's for the year, right? Not for the 10,000 is for the year, right?
For the fiscal year. So July to June.
So,
okay.
July to June, fiscal year, not calendar year for the reimbursement.
Correct.
Let me know, Eric, if you wouldn't mind, because you got it right last time, what my monthly is. That way I know when I'm going to have to pay that premium. Or do I just wait until you charge?
I think you're good for this fiscal year. Fine.
Okay, so reimburse Medicare payments, reimburse supplemental insurance. One thing that I noticed also, Chris, sorry, I told you I was hungry. The first year that I was, last year when I actually submitted something, I got reimbursed for my husband's amount because I didn't use mine. Should we put something in here about that, that this extends to any dependents or something like that? So
I probably should put spouse or significant other.
Okay. What does number four mean? Reimburse a portion of insurance premiums withheld from board members' payroll. I don't have a payroll with you, so why would
I? So if an employee is working and their employer pays a portion of their premium, mm-hmm. but the employee pays the other portion, whatever the employee has to pay, that's withheld from their paycheck. That gets reimbursed to them. So essentially any premium that would be considered out of pocket to the board member.
So is that clear enough? It makes sense now that you've explained that, but is that clear enough, Yvette, do you think?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else you want to mention, Chris, that we should discuss?
No, I just wanted to see, from you guys reading that, if it was clear enough.
Thank you. Yeah, I had those issues that from experience, firsthand experience, that I would finally.
Well, and we didn't have it documented anywhere. So I think this will help in.
Yeah, it does. It's very good for future board members to have it all here.
So okay, I have a question for Chris. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
About this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's for the portion from July to June, right? Mm-hmm. And I give you yearly, right? So do I have to give you from July to June how much I pay? Or how do I do that?
No, essentially it's going to work out that way. The only time that it will be like a partial year is say if you go off the board at some point, then we would prorate the year. But I mean, you can give it for the calendar year because each year it's going to be essentially the same anyway.
From
your,
okay.
From your W-2. Or I mean, from your total pay stub.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if I had to like do it that way from July to.
You're fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so is there a motion to recommend approval of that board policy 21?
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second it. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. The next one, the OP-05.
Conrado, would you like to talk about that one?
Sure. This is a grant policy that we use to allocate our funding and to approve grants. And there is one item that I find is challenging for our grant making process, which is it's on page, let me see what page is that. It's page 52 of the board packet. It's item 4.2 that says that only one grant can be opened by a recipient organization. And we have many instances in which we have a gap in funding, and also there are organizations that might be doing more than one project that it's of benefit to the district and to the population that we serve, and we are creating a limitation that in some cases is fatal to some of these organizations. This is why I am bringing this item for your consideration.
I agree with you. I just want to make sure that if there's no issues. Chris, do you see any issues with that? I think it's important that we don't have, that we have some flexibility. But
I think it's important though. I mean, and that would come from program committee and the grants team determining essentially kind of a capacity issue, because my concern would be extending an organization too much because we're expecting them to do something that maybe they can't handle, and then we put those resources at risk. That would be my only concern.
We have right now one possibility of doing a grant that is the COVID recovery, and that is one. Well, I guess it's not a small grant, it's a regular grant. So that wouldn't really apply to here. So I take my question back.
Was this one done because certain board members wanted to see other nonprofits apply for the grants? Was that why they did that cap or no?
To have more of a variety of applications? Is that what you're thinking, Yvette?
Don't know what history.
You mean the history of one open grant per grant recipient came about, and this year was a different year. But I'll give an example, like Jewish Family Service of the Desert. They were asking for, they got a grant for $80,000. They applied for another grant for $80,000. It's almost like it was a continuation because they didn't want to keep a gap in services, or have the district pay for that gap, but the premise was that if you're giving funding to an organization that has deliverables and a fiduciary responsibility for taxpayers' dollars, that when the final report with all the receipts and that the deliverables were met, was then we as staff were doing our fiduciary compliance due diligence to make sure that they spent the money the way they were going to spend it. They fulfilled the contract, and they also fulfilled the deliverables. But in this, and I can see where this could be revised, because sometimes, like another good example this year is Volunteers in Medicine actually got a grant to do a program project, but then we also asked Volunteers in Medicine to be a partner in a valley-wide initiative for COVID-19 emergency funding. So yeah, they were getting funding on two different fronts, but one was almost for a specific project that they had come to us previously before COVID. And this was, and then we asked them to be a partner in initiative, but that was the genesis of how we only had one open grant per grant recipient. It was more just to make sure they were in compliance, that they fulfilled their grant requirements, and they did what they said they were going to do with the funding.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm glad Director Zindel is back. I was getting worried that somebody actually see him walk away, or did he collapse there?
I'm sorry. Some of you know my mom was in the hospital with COVID, and she's been sent to a board and care, and that was the nurse calling me, so I had to take it.
No, of course, yes.
She's doing fine, by the way.
Good.
So in this case, so let's use the Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine as an example. Either they are out of compliance or we are out of compliance with our own policy. And I think that's something we need to avoid, because then we're creating a precedent in which other organizations can come to us and say, why are you unfair to me? Why do you allow this for one organization and not my organization? So that's one consideration for us to have in this case.
There should be, you know, on a case by case basis type of thing as well. Because if we have a grantee that's coming in and now all of a sudden they said, well, if you don't give me continued funding, I'm going to fail. Well, do we want to keep investing in an organization that's going to close its doors or go bankrupt because the district is the only one that's funding them?
Well, but that is not a reason why we would award a grant. We would award a grant based on merit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't be the only issue, because if there was an issue about financial stability, then they probably would not be recommended by staff. And that would be another consideration. It's not just the one issue. So yeah, I agree with the fact that staff does have input that is highly regarded by the board. That would have to be an issue that would have to be communicated in your recommendation. So that's the case by case thing.
I heard the word, I'm sorry, when I walked in, I heard the word COVID. Were you sort of making an exception for special needs related to COVID or not?
No, I was just giving an example.
And that actually applies to what I was bringing up earlier, is the fact that we did have that special COVID funding last year, and we hope that we can do it again. That if there's a request coming in through that special funding, then it technically is more than one grant, but one grant a year, but they don't have it open. Yeah, it might be open. So that's another exception that you're having.
Yeah.
I do have a question about capital improvement projects. How do we treat those, Donna?
We don't. The board had put the capital improvements on hold. And the reason being was twofold, actually. This is when Director Matthews was here. And it also was going back to the Kauffman Hall roadmap that we were originally supposed to be getting from Kauffman Hall, that was going to outline gaps in services and resources in facilities. So if we were looking at, say, funding some kind of a facility building, then it might not be within the area that there might be a gap or a resource that Kauffman Hall had identified in this roadmap. The other one was if we had been thrown out in the past, if we were going to invest in a capital project, that consideration to own the facility and operate it, only because we have in the past lost some millions of dollars on some projects where we funded a capital project and they went out of business or it was taken over. Roy's Desert Resource Center is a prime example of that one.
When you just explained about the board's decision in the past, was there actually a policy that was created to formalize that decision? Is there a policy that now that we should, that we have in place regarding capital costs projects?
Can I say something?
It was embedded in the grant policy as part of a restriction of funding guideline, on the funding guidelines.
Yes, so, Director Zendel.
So the capital issue, for using the Kauffman Hall facilities, whatever, as an excuse for not doing the capital projects anymore, I think that needs to stop. It's sort of irrelevant, and it's just an excuse that I think we pull out as an easy way. So I'm not saying we should start funding capital projects at all. I'm not saying that at all, but I don't think we should use that excuse anymore, especially since we're not actively doing facilities assessments.
Well, and I think doesn't it tie to the community needs assessment?
Well, but I think if we're not funding capital projects because of the second reason that Donna said, which I happen to agree to, that we don't want to build something for somebody and then they go out of business or they sell it to somebody else and we have no stake in it, I think that's a different issue. Although, again, capital projects, you know, there can be a small capital project that might be an incubator versus a wing of a building. So I think we have to be a little careful.
I think it should be on a case-by-case basis. I don't think we should have a blanket policy to say, well, actually, we don't have a blanket policy. So we're really basing it on something that's included in an application. But I'll full disclosure here. I'm going to be upfront, is that there was a project in Coachella that I was contacted about. And they said, what do you think about this idea? And I said, I think it's a great idea. And I think it's something that you should think about. And it does fall into the strategic plan, but it just so happens to be a capital project. And I'm hoping that it will advance to the regular processing channels. And that at some point in the future, that it'll be something that we could partner in. But I haven't seen it lately. And I'm now that you're bringing up that maybe that's why I haven't seen it, because it may not be moving forward because of some policy that doesn't exist, but has been followed because of just practice. So
is this the pool?
Yes.
Well,
we just, yeah.
That's a separate conversation.
We talked about that at program committee.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Well, I have my reasons why I think it does fit our strategic plan. When I went back to the website and I looked at it, this was a few weeks ago, I went back to our website and looked at it and I thought, yeah, this meets it. I think it's a good project, but
don't forget AB 2019.
I was just going to say AB 2019, because if we're promoting individually what we think should be a grant, and when it comes to program committee and the grant,
I said hypothetically,
puts them in challenging situations.
I think it's hypothetically, and I'm just using that as an example right now, as something that that is a project that we should make sure that if we're following a practice, that we determine whether that practice is something that we want to have a policy for or not. And I don't think we have a policy for it. So I think we need to ask whether it's under this one. I don't think it qualifies under grant or mini grant policy, but I think it needs to be, capital projects need to be addressed. And it's kind of funny that it would have been brought up today at the program committee, because I have been just thinking about that. But maybe that's something that staff could take into consideration, is that do we have a policy on capital projects that we want to introduce at this, whether it's appropriate in this committee or not?
I don't think that we need to introduce any new policy at this time. I think that this grant making policy is pretty clear. I think we need to be vigilant of when an application is submitted to the district, to be prudent in our decision making, and that we also consult with our board members through the appropriate channels to make the right decision. I think there are scenarios in which, as Dr. Sandel mentioned, we have a request that makes sense, and there are some that doesn't make sense. So if we have someone that wants to build a new wing in a hospital or a building, and we're not going to have ownership on that, and there is a risk of somebody falling in bankruptcy and losing that building, and I don't think that's a wise move. But when it's a small opportunity to help a community organization, I think it's a valid reason.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we once do a FQHC clinic in Desert Hot Springs?
Yes, we did. And it's still there, and it's being operated and providing services.
And it's counted as a positive.
Yes.
And it was about the Borrego Health and Wellness Center.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was also funded with new market tax credit dollars as well.
But that was a multi-agency partnership. That wasn't just healthcare district. So I think that right. was based on a great project, a need. The fact that it was a collaborative, and that's what I was noticing in our strategic our website, where it talks about what kind of projects can be funded, and the fact that it did actually promote collaboratives. So I thought, okay, this is a possibility here.
So it's also part of an initiative that we did in Desert Hot Springs, again, where Conrado and I met with this the economic development manager. We pointed out that we did over a 15-year investment in Desert Hot Springs, starting with a $100,000 community initiative to identifying that DHS was a medically underserved area and had HPSA physician shortage. And this was part of a huge initiative with other organizations, like you said, Letty, to bring healthcare services, access to healthcare services to an underserved area.
I guess the question is does the blanket exclusion of capital projects in our policy makes sense anymore? And should it be more on a case-by-case basis with some guidelines that we might want to develop? That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that. And Conrado doesn't think that we need a policy, but I think that in absence of one, then there's going to be just a misunderstanding of what we're doing, especially since we've been all along for a while not doing it, and all of a sudden for us to just change it. That's why I thought it was necessary to create some kind of a policy to identify some criteria. And then on a case-by-case basis, staff make a recommendation.
Yeah, also if you look at the health and safety code, it does say what healthcare districts can fund, and one of them is building clinics and operating clinics, but it doesn't say about swimming pools. Sorry.
Well, health and we fund the swimming program. The Ready Set Swim. Where's your shirt, Les?
That was a county funded program.
Okay, so that one.
We're funding CV Link. We're funding CV Link. That's a county.
Well, program. You know our thoughts on that one too.
Well, the point is we did it. We own it. We don't own it, but we own it.
Not by choice.
We own what we did.
But swimming is an important health. It has health implications and also life and death as well. So that's why we fund it, and that's why we support it. That's a program, yeah. But it's associated with, a program cannot happen unless you have the facility to do it, and in this case, a lot of people use that pool, it's an important.
Well, in the city of Coachella, also increased their reserves from $8 million to $16 million, thanks to cannabis. I'm not going to get into semantics with you. I apologize.
Okay, so are we talking about putting something for capital projects, or are we going to specify on projects that we can fund? Because I mean, we talked about this today in the healthcare meeting. I mean, in our program committee meeting, you know, and to talk about it again, it's like, I don't know.
Well, I think that because you were part of that conversation at today's meeting, that you probably have more to share on it. But I'm not sure if today is the appropriate time to do that because we don't have it agendized. But I would like to hear what the committee had to say today, what the directors, what they think and what they want to do. But Director Zendel, you have your hand up?
Yeah, so we're still on OP5, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Does OP5 address capital projects at all in it?
No.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to make a motion that we accept this, but I'm also going to say that if the staff understands that there's a restriction on capital projects, then we need to have a further discussion of that with the board. Mm-hmm. Probably, I actually don't think it should originate in the policy committee. It might even originate in the finance facilities committee, I don't know, or the program committee. But I think we accept OP5 as written, but also make it clear on the side that we'd like the staff to clarify the issue of capital projects.
Is there a second? Oh, hold on. Is there a second for that motion?
Is that including what is written on here? Because remember, we were talking about the 4.2?
Yes.
About the grant?
With the changes proposed, is how I understood it. Right, Director Zendel?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear about the change. What is that? What was
the change is to have more than one grant open, that they can have more than one grant open.
So you talked about under certain circumstances, there could be more?
Yes.
I agree with that. But do you want to, what language do you want to put
in? That was the only significant change to this. Everything else is kind of minor.
That one, yes, and reducing the 25%, no?
So the change, Dr. Zendel, is deleting 4.2 that says only one open grant per grants recipient is allowed.
Okay, I agree.
So that's number one. The other suggestion that we have here is, you know, this is a very minor and we don't need to even spend time on this, is not to exceed 30%. The total amount of funding for a multi-year grant may not exceed 30% of the total aggregate of the annual approved grant budget by the district board.
I don't understand what that means.
That means if the board allocated $3.5 million, if somebody comes in over 30% of a request, so 30% of 3.5 is what?
4 million.
1 million.
Huh? You mean 1 million. No one organization can get more than 30% of our annual budget? Is that what you mean for grants?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, then why don't you say that? Okay.
Sorry.
How did
I never quite understood this clause either. This is something our previous chief operating officer through, and I never could understand that one. But
I mean, has that ever happened?
Well, we have a $2.5 million request now from Lift to Rise.
It's also talking about multi-year grants.
Yeah.
We do have grantees that come requesting 2 or 3 year grants, and it might be, you know, significantly more than what our current annual budget is. And so that's where the limitation was put in, so that it wouldn't hog all of the current year allocation.
Yeah, like give an example would be the USAR School of Medicine, you know, $5 million grant over five-year period. So.
I would imagine the board would say that's too much or whatever. I'm not sure you need to have a policy that sets an arbitrary 30% limit. Why not 25%? Why not 40%? I don't understand.
Yes, I totally agree.
Why don't you just take it out?
Take it out.
It's going to be based on the budget. Whatever the budget is what we're going to be looking at. If it meets the criteria, we have the funding.
Just take it out.
Okay, so are we removing 4.2 and 4.3?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so I'll accept those changes with my motion to accept the proposal.
Okay, is there a second?
I second.
And Chris, you had a comment. You had your hand up earlier.
Well, and it kind of went along with what Les was saying when we were talking about the capital projects part of it. I agree that the way the policy is written, it doesn't need to state the capital projects, because the capital projects limitation came from prior board agreement to hold the capital expenditures. So I think that's the right way to do it. But maybe at the board meeting and discussing this policy, maybe that can be addressed on the entire board so that they can agree whether the capital project component goes away. Then that way it's agreed, the policy stands as it is, and then it's open to whatever the request is, and it's analyzed that.
And so the policy, the way is, it means that there is no restriction to capital project, that it's on a case-by-case basis, depending on the whole project and funding and our regular process that we go through.
But right? but I do think that it would be, not as part of this, but I do think at some point staff should help the board deal with how it looks at capital projects and how, you know, whether it's a policy or a guidelines how to do it, so that it just, we don't have to recreate dealing with capital projects every time it comes up.
And shouldn't that be defined by the community needs assessment and strategic plan? Because if they're, I mean, if the strategic, or if the community needs assessment says no, you don't need to do capital projects and should be funded somewhere else, then why would you do that?
Well, first of all, the community, I don't think that's what the community needs assessment is going to do. It's going to say what the needs are. But as we address the needs, again, we may decide we want to do capital projects, but how we decide how much of a role we have, whether we hold title, all those things need to be, have some guidelines, maybe not clear policy, but how we look at something.
Yeah, and
would you like us to go look at other funders to see what other funders do for capital projects? Because another thing you got to bear in mind is prevailing wage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's good to be informed. But when I think of a capital project, I don't just think of bricks and mortar. I think of what is the benefit of that project? How is it going to impact health? How is it going to impact, the things that are mentioned in our assessment and in our strategic plan? That's how I look at it. And
how do you measure? How do you measure that? Oh. How do you do an RBA on that, on a capital project? How do you do an RBA on a pool? I'm just
And curious. That's what we look at. What are you hoping to accomplish? That's why I say that I don't think of bricks and mortar. I think of what are you hoping to accomplish by having the investment in a community project like that, and that is the health impact. And then what is the measurements and also, and the, and so that's how I see it. So I think that there's more to it, and that you're not getting a chance to explore it because of that first criteria. It's a capital project? No. That to me doesn't make sense, but go ahead, Director Crisco.
I mean, we can also argue about a park, we have data stating that the Dream Homes neighborhood asked for a park for healthier, children, for children to have a place to exercise, to do things, but we're not going to be able to fund that whole park, right?
But so, if it's a collaborative, if there's like a state grant that's available and the grant says that you need to have partnership, and if there was a way that we could support that, not only like we did in the past by providing a letter of support, but if there was a $20,000 ask, that's reasonable, and the benefit of it, oh my God, that would be fantastic to be able to support a project like that, that it has financial sustainability, that has other agencies that are going to take a bigger role, and by our contribution makes it a reality and puts our name out there in the community.
You do know we own a park, right?
No, the little one,
the wellness park.
Yes. So I do think that a capital project like a park, community park, is something that provides great benefit and should not be a no just because it's a capital project.
Well, into that point, Letty, you made a good one, because we were going to fund the exercise equipment and water stations in the city park in Coachella if they were going to get the state funding. Yeah, mm-hmm. But they didn't. Yeah. So they said, you know, they couldn't build a park. So, but we were going to do some of the ancillary things inside, like exercise equipment, water stations. You know, okay. Sort of like what we have in the wellness park.
I thought we were just doing a letter of support, but yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you. Okay, so do we have enough to go on, Conrado? Did we confuse you enough to put this on you and how we're going to bring it to the board for discussion? Like Director Zendel said, that we should take it to the next step.
I think it's clear. We're accepting the changes that we suggested.
Okay. But we're going
excuse me, just for clarity for the minutes, we're removing sections 4.2 and 4.3, and then the capital projects will be discussed at the upcoming board meeting, or it will come back to the committee.
Staff will take the issue of capital projects and bring it back to the appropriate committee.
Thank you.
Whenever so they
staff will determine which committee it will go to, whichever one that you think that it's appropriate, and then it will come to a recommendation to the board. After that committee has a recommendation. Hopefully it's one of the committees that I'm on. Okay, is there a motion? So we are, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Okay, so, and I also, so that passes. Any future topics and issues?
I just want to call attention that in the chat, I have posted references to the use of he, his and her and there. There actually are conflicting grammatical pronouncements about it. And if the healthcare district wants to come down on one side and or the other on a controversial topic, then do it at your own risk.
Well, how about if we just replace he, she, and we'll use they or their, because then that way it can be considered, and like you're saying, it can be considered singular. But then if there's more than one, it covers that as well.
That's what it's suggested in the things I posted.
Okay. Them.
All right.
Those thank people.
You, thank you for that contribution, Director Zendel.
By the way, I did better on my math SAT than I did on my verbal SAT. Or whatever that, what is the other one, the math? Math and?
English.
English. Right?
English. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not called English, is it?
Yes, it is. Language. Okay, right. Well, I think it's time for us to conclude our meeting. If we have no other future topics and issues, I call to adjourn the meeting at 5:50.
Okay.
Dinner time.
Have a great evening.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.